at you. You're on your journey this morning to meet Jesus and know Jesus a little bit more and follow him. Is that your journey? Good. Is that your journey? Yes or no? It is, right? Isn't that what you got up this morning? Stand with me. Stand with me. Let's read. We're going to have a great time this morning. The Lord's going to speak into your life today. I just know it. Check this out. So we're going to be in the Gospels a lot today. So Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says this. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He'd slip away to pray. Isn't that cool? Matthew 14, chapter 22, 14, verses 22, 23. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. And after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on this mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Well, who was with him while he was praying? Isn't that cool? Father, we love you. We commit to you this morning. We commit to you, God, our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. And we ask for the Spirit of the living God to fall upon us today. We ask, Jesus, that you would speak into our hearts, that you would touch our eyes, that we might see. Pray, Lord, that you would touch our ears, that we might hear your voice. For you said that my sheep will hear my voice and will follow me. We come to hear you. We ask, God, that you would send your Spirit upon us now. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless this service. We pray this for the glory of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And you may be seated. So we have a lot to be thankful for, yes? So last Sunday was a great service. We served like 300 hamburgers afterward, In-N-Out Burger, praise God. Hey guys, this morning, so here, just pastor's moment with you. On October 7th, there were so many stories that happened coming out of Israel. The one that broke my heart the most, that captured my heart deep within my soul, is there was a little 3-year-old girl named Abigail, whose dad was shielding his daughter from bullets, and the Hamas killed him and his wife. And as he died, Abigail, he was holding his daughter, and he fell on top of her, and she crawled out underneath her dad, covered in blood. And she was taken as a hostage by Hamas. And just this morning, they finally set her free. So for me personally, I've been praying that this little girl would be set free. And I'm so grateful this morning that though she's an orphan now the rest of her life, but what a good dad that would guard his daughter from bullets. So she's home, she's safe. Father, we pray for this little girl, Abigail, because she's symbolic, God, of just so many innocents and civilians that was hurt and killed on October the 7th. And Lord, we ask for her extended family. We thank you for their joy. We know there are a lot of people being returned in this war. God, we just pray for mercy and grace. We pray for what's just and what's fair. We pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, as we gather here, we're so grateful and we're so thankful, God, that we awoke this morning in a country that makes religious freedom a priority. It's one of our rights, the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. We thank you, God, that we are of a country that is relatively safe. We have so many things to be grateful and thankful for. And we're just grateful this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. A double amen. How was your Thanksgiving? Was it good? So did you spend some time last Thursday thanking God? So hey, you guys, so I've been sharing with you that my 96-year-old dad has been in the hospitals. He's been in rehab. And our big prayer was is that we would get him home for Thanksgiving. And we're so grateful that we were able to get him to a big family home together. And the best part of Thanksgiving was at one point around the table, I said, you know, and the grandkids were there, you know, what are you most thankful to Grandpa for? What's your favorite moments that you have with Grandpa? And at one point at our Thanksgiving meal, all the grandkids went around and was looking right at Grandpa, just thankful to have my dad home and to hear the stories and how our family was just grateful for him. It was a really special Thanksgiving. I pray that you had a special Thanksgiving as well. So I have a question for you this morning. After Thanksgiving, does your world speed up or does it slow down? After Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving's now in the rearview mirror. Do you see it? It was last Thursday. Here's my question for you this morning. Now that Thanksgiving's over, does your life slow down or does it speed up? How many people in here would say that your life slows down? Okay, how many people in here would say after Thanksgiving, your life speeds up big time? Does this sound familiar? Buying a Christmas tree. Setting up a Christmas tree. Getting out the packed Christmas ornaments and decorations. Putting them on the tree. Putting lights on the tree. Getting a ladder. Putting lights on a house. Extension cords and ladders and hammers. Shopping in long lines. Buying presents for friends and loved ones. Wrapping presents. Mailing presents. Traveling to see family or preparing your home for coming family. Baking, cooking. Does that sound familiar to anybody? People, for many people, the holiday season that we're in from Thanksgiving to Christmas affects people in many ways. And some people experience high blood pressure during this. Some people experience during this season stomach ulcers. Some people experience a lack of patience with other people and sleepless nights because they can't shut their brains down of all the things they need to do. For many people, the holiday seasons affects people with worry or feelings of being overwhelmed or fear or even regrets or sadness. And if you're not careful, you're going to be stressed out between now through Christmas Day. Did I miss anything? They say it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's also the most busiest time of the year, and it's coming. Now, here's the deal. Your biggest danger in the upcoming season is that you're going to be so busy and so distracted and so exhausted preparing for this season that we forget to prepare our hearts for the reason for the season. Let me say that again. Your biggest danger that awaits you in the next 5 weeks is that you're going to be so distracted in preparing for this season that you're going to forget to prepare your heart for the reason of the season. So last week, I talked about a spiritual discipline of training your mind and heart to having an attitude of being grateful to God. This attitude of thanksgiving, it's actually a spiritual discipline that is we read of in the scriptures to training our mind and training our thoughts to always being grateful and thankful for the provident blessing of God, right? All my life you have been faithful, right? Always, and even as we pray and ask things of God, to be able to look back and say, but I'm grateful for the good things. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. It's totally cool to ask God for things, but you should always have this attitude of saying, how blessed I am. It's a spiritual discipline of training your mind to being grateful and thankful. And we talked about that last week. This morning, I want us to ponder another spiritual discipline for our lives, especially in what's about to happen to all of us. It's the spiritual discipline of hitting the brakes and slowing down. It's the spiritual discipline of hitting the brakes and slowing down, of spending quality time alone with God. It's in His presence that we find peace. In His presence, people, you find perspective. And is in the presence of God, you find power, you find wisdom, you find clarity, you find love, you find healing, you find acceptance in the presence of God. Jesus teaches us this principle of hitting the brakes. When you study Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to learn from Jesus, as you read the scriptures, you're going to read that Jesus had this spiritual discipline of always being really intentional and hitting the brakes on life. In the busyness of life, he'd hit the brakes and he'd go spend time with God. And it's a discipline. When you look at his life, it's everywhere. Okay, so let me read these verses again. Okay, here it is. Early in Jesus' ministry, in the Gospel of Mark, love the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Early in the morning, while it's still dark, who does this? Jesus does. Early in the morning, while it's still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place, right? And was praying there. When was the last time you did that? Jesus did this. Did he just do it once? Luke 6, 12 and 13. It was at this time that he went off to a mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. The whole night? And when day came, so the sun's rising, he called his disciples to him. And he chose 12 of them who he called apostles. So there's disciples, but then there's 12 he for leadership, right? Apostles, right? So before choosing his leadership team, which is a pretty huge decision, he spent the entire night hanging out with God. I would have loved to have listened to that conversation, wouldn't have you? So Lord, what if Thomas is just so down all the time, Lord? Really him? Okay, yeah. Judas, oh, dude, he's not good. Okay, let's... Peter, yeah, right? A whole night, he's got all these disciples, but he's picking his leadership team. He's like, Lord, the 12 apostles. Big decisions, right? How about this one? I like Matthew chapter 14, 13 and 14. Now when Jesus heard about John the Baptist, John his cousin, John who is his partner in crime, the one who prepares the way of the Lord in Isaiah 40. It's the 1-2 punch, the dynamic duo, John the Baptist and Jesus. Now when Jesus heard about John being murdered, he withdrew from there to a boat, to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw the large crowds and felt compassion for them. He healed their sick. When Jesus heard that his cousin had been murdered, he went away. When he received the news of John the Baptist, he got in a boat by himself to do some grieving. He spent some time alone with God when he's grieving. Matthew chapter 14, 22 and 23. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And while he sent the crowds away, after this he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And I like this. And when it was evening, he was there alone. What does that mean? I thought he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And yet when it's evening, after he's done praying, it's like, do you know that when you pray that God joins you in your prayers and there's a presence with you when you pray? Right? So after the miracle of feeding the 5,000, Jesus spends time after his greatest public miracle to go spend time with God and praying. I love it. And maybe there's no better verse than this one that just says it plainly. Check this out. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus himself would often slip away. He would slip away. That's hitting the brakes. He would often hit the brakes. He'd slip away. And he'd go out by himself and pray. Isn't that cool? So this spiritual discipline of being thankful to God, there's a spiritual discipline that all of us need to learn, and it's a spiritual discipline of hitting the brakes and not letting life control us, but we're able to like pause in the midst of life and spend time with the God who made us, the God who created us, so we can reengage in life. Jesus, all through his ministry, does this. All through his life, this is a spiritual discipline that he had. Hitting the brakes. Just spending time making, right before big decisions, he's hitting the brakes. Right in the midst of grieving, he hits the brakes. In the midst of massive things happening, he would spend time with God, always checking in. It's a spiritual discipline to learn. Are you good at it? Are you good at this? Did you know this is hard to do? It's really hard to do. Just ask the 12 apostles. If there's ever a time when Jesus needed to sit at the feet of the Father and prepare his heart for the day, it was on the day of his death. In the busy week of Passion Week, Jesus ends up pulling an all-nighter on that Thursday and in through Friday morning for Good Friday. Do you know Jesus didn't sleep at all that night? In Matthew 26, it says this, Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. Have you heard of it? Anyone seen the Passion of the Christ? It begins at Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. So you guys stay here, I'm going over to pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as your will. Right? And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watch and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do I hear an amen to that? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Boy, that one could go on my gravestone. So true, right? And he went away again a second time, praying, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. That's a beautiful way to pray. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. If you look at the life of Jesus, there's never a moment more critical in the life of Jesus than this day. If there's ever a time when Jesus needed to have to hit the brakes and to totally empower himself in the presence of God, the day of days, it's this day, right? There's no other time more critical for him to be spending time with God, to drawing on the power of the Father than at this time. And as you read the text, it's a time of intense internal struggle. See, he who knew no sin, Jesus is sinless, understood that on the following day that he's actually going to become sin. Do we even know what that means? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin be sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God. There's something radically theological that was happening in that moment of salvation when Jesus was preparing for the cross. And I got to tell you this straight up. Jesus was not looking forward to this. He was painfully repulsed by what he knew was going to happen to him on Calvary. Jesus knew that on that cross, he would not only have to accept the punishment for humanity's sins, but he would actually become sin, as all of the darkness and evil of mankind would fall upon him. Just as righteousness of God is so infused in us through Christ, the sin in which Christ totally, that our sin was totally infused into him, he identifies as sin. As you're made righteous because of Jesus, Jesus was made sin because of you. It's radical. It's theologically mind-blowing. It was, sin was imparted into Christ. All of your sins was imparted into him. How much of your sin did Jesus take upon himself on the cross? Answer? All of it. That's just you. How many times have you sinned in life? How many times last week did you sin? 10, 20, 50? How many times did you sin this last year? Righteous holiness of God, you. Someone cut in front of you and you said, sorry, Lord. Impure thoughts. How much sin does Christ take upon himself on your behalf? Times everybody in this room. Times everybody in Irvine. Times everybody in America. Times everybody in the world. As of living right now and for the last 2,000 years. People, that's a lot. And he's having the sin of the world fall upon him. He's not looking forward to it. It's an amazing account of Jesus struggling with things that you and I try to understand. But I'm struck, as I read this text, people, I'm struck with the critical importance that Jesus knew. I had to spend time alone with the Father before this. That time with Jesus and the Father was a time of yielding and being prepared by his Father for the struggle that was before him. As his time of being strengthened by the Father came to an end, Jesus was able to say without reservation, "Not my will be done, but yours." That's pretty good. That's spending time with God. Amen? The power of hitting the brakes and spending time alone with God is really important, and Jesus knows this. He would always hit the brakes, spending time with the Father. And now here's the sad part. So there's Jesus, right? There he is. And then here's the 12. There's two sets of people in this text. There's Jesus and there's the apostles. And as Jesus moves to leave the Garden of Gethsemane, he comes upon his disciples. And what are they doing? They're sleeping. They're sound asleep. People, as you read this text, you can hear the tone. You can almost hear a tone in Jesus' voice. He wasn't really proud of them. He's actually sad for them. He's frustrated with them. There's a sadness as his voice, as he says, "Can't you guys watch with me for 1 hour? Couldn't you just give me 1 hour? Couldn't you just spend time? Couldn't you do this for just 1 hour?" So what's Jesus sad about? Because they couldn't support him? Yeah, probably. But you heard him say, "You too need to pray, for temptation's coming." He's not just sad because they couldn't support him. He was sad for them. For he knew that they too were destined for a very bad day. That they were also going to endure temptation, right? They were going to endure trial as well. And yet, unlike Jesus, if you read it, Jesus was prepared. Guess who wasn't? The apostles. On that day that followed, Peter, who vowed, "Under no circumstances, I will never betray you, Lord." 3 times that day, he denies Christ. James and John, who were asking, "Jesus, can we sit on your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom?" Where were they when Jesus needed people as witnesses? They were nowhere to be found, man. Jesus was totally prepared, and the 12 were totally unprepared. And as you read the text, it was not their finest hour as the followers of Jesus. Jesus was preparing himself. Jesus was hitting the brakes before a really big day. A really big day. How big was that day? It's huge. Do you know what? Do you know that your life stood in the balance that day? Your eternal destiny stood in the balance that day? Jesus was sitting there going, Lord, is there any other way? Back and forth. How big was that day? H-U, huge, big bold font, big letters. This was so important that Jesus yielded to the Father at that moment. That time that he spent with God was huge. And he is victorious, and he's trying to get his students who've walked with him for 3 years to show some spiritual discipline and get up and pray, and they snooze through the whole deal, and then they were a mess the next day. Huh, here's my question for you this morning. You ready? Are you mentally and spiritually prepared for the busyness of the wonderful, awesome Christmas season? Because it's coming. Are you ready for this? You ready to see the crazy in-laws? Are you ready to be disciplined with your credit card spending? Getting the perfect gift? Are you ready for the holiday season that's upon? Are you mentally and physically and spiritually prepared for what's about to take place? People, can I give you some practical tips? These are things that I would love to see you practice for the next 5 weeks. I'd love to see you get some Garden of Gethsemane's going in your life in the next 5 weeks. I want you not to look back at December and say, I'm so glad that that's over with. I'm exhausted. I want you to be preparing your heart for the not being overwhelmed, but being overcome with Christ. Jesus has come to earth. The promised one has come. The Savior of the world has come, and he came for you. For us in this room, what's about to take place in the season that's coming, this should be a season of us being overcome, not overwhelmed. Do I hear an amen? How do you plan on being overwhelmed and not overcome? What's your plan? How do you plan on hitting the brakes? How do you plan on slowing down and not letting consumerism consume the holiday season? Take notes with me this morning. Do this, please. Write this down. Ready? Schedule time to spend with God. Schedule time to spend with God between now through Christmas. Can I ask you, please, put on your calendar date times with God. Schedule time with God. Are you a night owl or a morning rooster? Jesus spent time at night. Jesus spent a lot of time in the morning. I would encourage you to spend time in the morning. Wake up early, because that's what Jesus did. Wake up early. I like spontaneity, don't you? But sometimes spontaneity doesn't go so well. I'll just spontaneity myself to go to the gym. Guess what's going to happen? You don't go. When I do premarital counseling or postmarital, hey, when are you guys scheduling date nights? Oh, well, when we just feel like it. And then she looks at him and says, we haven't had one in 2 years. Guess you haven't felt like you don't. Spontaneity's great. Schedule time with God. Schedule time with God. Do it in the morning. People, do you drink coffee in the morning or at night? In the morning, right? Because it's warm, it's caffeine, it kind of gets you going, it starts your day, it feels so good. You take a cup of coffee in the morning, right? It prepares you. It's a part of that. See, check it. Jesus, in his devotional life, he would slip away in the morning because he needed quiet time to be alone. The still small voice of God. It's really difficult to hear the voice of God when you've constantly got noise and people around you. Early in the morning, he would slip away because everybody's out, and he would go walk with God. He would go down to the Sea of Galilee and walk along the beach. Spend time with God. I would say do it in the morning, right? There's a famous theologian named Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but he says he once said that an hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While dew is still on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. Isn't that good? Right? I like that. King David, famous Psalm 5, he says this. Psalm 5, 1 through 3. Give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my groanings. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order up my prayers to you and eagerly watch. King David, man after God's own heart, early in the morning, practicing spiritual discipline, spending time alone with God. These are the times that he would... Schedule a time to spend with God. In the busyness of this season, please schedule time to be with God, because in that time, you're going to find peace. You're going to find perspective. Okay, write this down. Ready? Another one. Finding a time, finding a place. Finding a place. What is a place you should not schedule for a quiet time with God? Not Disneyland. Okay? People everywhere, noise. Disneyland is for another time that you schedule. What place should you not be at? It's not with a bunch of people. Jesus slipped away. Where's that place where you go? Man, like having that Jesus chair in your house. Having that tree that you would walk to. Going down to the beach, if you could, and walking and watching the early morning dawn patrols. Dude, that was my favorite. Like, always trying to find that. I had a favorite tree at Biola when I was a student at Biola, and every morning I had that tree. Going down to the beach, catching waves with the dawn patrol, as they call it, and just walking on the beach, sitting alone on a beach, watching the dolphins, listening to worship music, catching some waves. Alone with the Lord, sitting on a beach, and then go back. Whatever it is, in your home, finding that place, that Jesus chair, that Jesus room. I have a buddy of mine that he's got so many kids, he gets in his car and goes sit in the park. That he sits in the car in the park, just to be alone, just for a little bit. Find a time, find a place. Right? It's got to be this place alone with the Lord. See, here's the deal. Don't be afraid of silence. Don't be afraid when it's quiet. Because silence is not an absence. It's a presence. See, God is always with you, but there's so often we don't even know it because we haven't spent the time to sit and be still and know that He's God. Silence, there's not an absence in silence. There's a presence. The still small voice of God. Seek solitude. Find a time. Find a place. So then once you do that, you ready? Write this one down. Prepare your mind and soul. Prepare your mind. Once you do this, you find, I've got a time, I've got a place. Now what? Prepare your mind. Prepare your mind. Meditate on God. I love it when Jesus says, when he said to pray, Our Father who is in heaven, how holy is thy name. Okay. I'm meditating on God. I'm preparing my mind. So when I always listen to worship music in the morning. I want to sing. There's something about singing. I want to prepare my mind. And by the way, people, don't let your quiet place be in bed. Don't wake up and go, I'm ready. Don't do it in bed. Why? Because you're going to be like the 12 at the Garden of Gethsemane. You're going back asleep. Get up, find a time, find a place, and prepare your mind. Think on God, meditate on God. Think on Christ, where He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Singing, reading Scripture, preparing your mind, right? Meditating on God, praying out loud. These are things that stimulate my mind. God, I know you're here. I know you're real. Sometimes I'll be thinking of I'll pick a certain moment in the life of Jesus. Jesus walking on water. Do you guys remember The Chosen? That was a great scene, wasn't it? Season chapter 3. Thomas says, this is the second most amazing thing I've seen today. You fed 5,000 in the morning. And now you're walking on water in the evening. This is incredible. I Can you just picture Jesus walking on water to you? It's preparing my mind to meet with Christ. Once you're doing this, can I pray? Talk to God. Do you wake up in the morning and just say good morning to people you love? How about waking up and saying, good morning, Lord. I know you're with me today. First thing I want to do this morning is say, God, I know you're here. Thank you for watching over me. Talk to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Be thankful as you talk to Him. Practice the spiritual discipline of thankfulness. God, I just come to you this morning, and I'm so grateful I'm vertical this morning. Amen? I'm so grateful I've got breath in my lungs this morning. Thankful, God, that I woke up with a pillow and food. I'm grateful, God, for your provident blessing in my life. And you start talking to God. As you're doing this, people, you're spending time alone with the Lord. It's good stuff. And can I encourage you? You gotta have one of these. You gotta get one of these. A good one. Spend some time in the Word, reading the Scriptures, meditating on the Scriptures. Can I encourage you this morning? Read Ancestry.com of Jesus this year. Matthew chapter 1. Ancestry.com. Okay? Jesus is the prophesied one. From Abraham, from your seed, one will come and bless all the nations of the world. And through the line of Abraham comes Messiah. A lot of people say, I'm going to read the New Testament, and they immediately get bored with the son of this, the son of this, the son of this. I get it. But it's really important because Jesus is the prophesied one. And he finally comes to Joseph, who's married, going to be married to Mary. You read Matthew chapter 1 and you get to see Ancestry.com for Jesus. And then you read Matthew chapter 2 and you get to read the Christmas, all the events of Christmas from the Gospel of Matthew. And then go to Luke immediately and read Luke 1 and 2. In these four chapters is Christmas. Have you ever studied Christmas theologically, biblically? Why not take Christmas this year and study Christmas this year? And man, when you're reading the Gospel of Luke, don't stop for the whole month. It's so cool. When I was a professor at Biola, here I have all these young freshmen. Professor Winans, I was born and raised in a Christian home. Professor Winans, I went to church. My parents took me to church. I'm now at Biola. I've never read the Bible. I'm looking forward to reading the whole Bible. I'm like, amen. Hey, friend, can I encourage you this Christmas to read the New Testament? To read Jesus, read the Gospels, read the Gospel of Luke. Hit the brakes, find a time, find a place, prepare your mind, pray and talk to God, and start entering in to the Scripture, the Holy Scripture. Read it. Read it out loud. Read it in different translations. And when you're reading it, if you really want to study it, take notes. Journal. Ask questions. You read something you don't understand. Or maybe your thoughts are driven to a certain word. Maybe you're totally taken by Mary just saying, I'm your servant. To the angel, do what you wish and say, gosh, look at this young girl in Nazareth being willing to carry the Messiah, willing to accept what's about to take place, that she's going to be pregnant. Imagine, stir it in. Mary sings a song, the Magnificat, where she just is so thankful to God that she gets to be the one to carry Jesus into the world. Man, maybe as you study her song, you can write your own song. Lord, I'm so grateful for the things you've done in my life. People journal. Write prayers to God. If you're going to hit the brakes and you're going to take control of this season, man, hit the brakes and spend time with God. Find a time. Find a place. Prepare. Pray. Read the Scriptures. It's Christmas. Read the Scriptures. Journal. Write things down. Record your thoughts. Record your prayers. Ah, but then you can do more. This is what's so cool. Sin and I, we're always talking about what we're reading in the Bible. Sin is always coming in and out talking to me. And I'm always talking with her, babe, check this out. And she saw, Frankie, look at this. It's share. Write this down. Share. You're going to prepare? Man, have someone that you're going, hey, man, I'm journeying through the Gospels right now. I hope you have someone in your life you can share that with. Dude, check this out. This is amazing. Who's your partner? And lastly, write this one down. You ready? Expect some failure. Especially you that have little ones. When your life is so crazy, filled with diapers and bottles and or just kids and schedules, it's so funny how we try to plan our days and then our days totally get taken from us. There's going to be failure. Look at the apostles. They totally failed. The night when Jesus needed them the most, they blew it. The night that they needed to be totally prepared for what's about to take place with them, they slept. It's okay. You know, God loves you and He forgives you. And that wasn't the last of Peter or James or John or Andrew or Philip. They were amazing. They learned. They're on the journey, just like you and just like me. Thanksgiving's in the rearview mirror. Christmas is coming. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And the busiest. If you don't watch it, this whole thing's going to be taken away from you. And you're going to be so wiped out, so exhausted, so taken by the to-do lists, so zapped. Don't let that be you. Next Saturday, we have a Christmas. Dude, we're going to be preparing your heart for Christmas. Don't miss December the 2nd, right? A tree light service. We're going to have a Christmas concert, a Christmas party. It's going to be awesome. It's all happening. It's coming this Tuesday. We're going to be preparing the stage. When next Sunday, when you see this place, it's going to look pretty awesome. Christmas tree over here, Christmas tree over here, lights. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to be, oh, look at all the yep, it's all coming. And we're happy to do it. We're excited to do it. But guess what I'm doing on Tuesday morning? I'm spending time with Jesus. I pray that every morning you're spending time with Jesus. I pray that you are just letting Him speak into your soul and speak into your life. And from there, you're going to be preparing, spending time with the Lord. People, this is what you need. There's one last note. Are you ready for this one? Here it is, note number 9. Here it comes. In His presence we find peace. Do I hear an amen? In His presence, we find perspective on life. In His presence, we find power. Ask Jesus. Notice the power that He had when He got off His knees at the Garden of Gethsemane? Power. Bring it. I'm ready. In His presence, people, is where you find peace. In the presence of Christ is where you find perspective. In His presence, you find power. In His presence, you'll find wisdom to make decisions. Deciding who's the apostles and who's, right? Wisdom to make decisions in the presence of Christ. People, when you're confused, in God's presence, you find clarity. In that quiet time, you find clarity. I know people that purpose, I don't want to be alone with God, I'm afraid. What? Really? Yeah, man. I don't, Pastor Frank, to be quite honest, I don't want to do this because I'm afraid that if I spend time with God, He's going to smack me upside the head. I'm afraid of Him. Really? When you read Jesus, was there ever somebody so afraid they didn't want to hang out with Jesus? Did you notice that they were drawn to Him? Do you know when you spend time with God, you find love? Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Here it is. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Does that sound repelling or attracting? Anyone? It's so cool. I've met people who've come up to me and they said, Pastor Frank, it's not what I expected. When I spent time alone with the Lord, I came out feeling loved, accepted, encouraged. Amen. Amen. In His presence we find peace. In His presence we find perspective. In His presence we find power. In His presence we find wisdom. As in His presence we find clarity. In His presence we find love. In His presence we find rest. In His presence we find healing. Healing for your soul. Healing. And in His presence you find what? Acceptance. Come unto me. That was not for you and you and you, but not you and you and you. It's a broad invitation. He accepts. Come to me. People, this is where Christian life happens. It's a spiritual discipline. Are you good at it? Have you ever done it? You practiced Thanksgiving last week, amen? And you found that your attitude changed just because you're finding yourself being grateful and thankful to God for the things you already have. Nothing changed except your attitude. Man, when you spend time with the Lord, everything changes. It's like where the power comes from. It's like plugging in your phone. It's the energy in the presence of God. And it's from this place. This is where from here we go out and live life. Jesus, from this place, He would go out and live life. This is where we find everything. Can I ask you, please, try this next month? Be disciplined in it. Give it a whirl. It's important. How many people is willing to try this month? Raise your hand. Come on. Now, if you raise your hand, God sees you. All right, how many people in here are going, I'm not doing this? That's okay. Maybe you're not ready. Okay, wait, I got... Okay, everybody has to participate. How many people in here are willing to try this, give this a whirl for the next, maybe even this week? Raise your hand. Are you willing? I'll give it a whirl. How many people are going, no way? I love it. May this be the very best Christmas that you ever have. Just a quick testimony. I was 20 by the time I finally got to a place of searching. Jesus says, seek, ask, and knock, and the door will be open. There's a time in all of our lives when we just are at that place where it's like, I need to seek this out. I need to figure out if there's a God, if there's not a God. Is there evidence for God? Who is this Jesus? What's He like? I should know Him. Went on my journey. I accepted the Lord. I still remember my very first Christmas after being a follower of Jesus. And I finally, all the lights came on. I'm like, no way. Jesus, God became flesh and walked among us. Christ, child, is here. He comes with purpose. God's coming for me. He's coming after me. God is for me. God wants me. God loves me, for God so loved the world. I remember my very first Christmas as a Christian, totally just being overwhelmed by the whole thing. And now everything made sense. And Santa Claus just kind of went by the wayside, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, God bless him, you know, type thing. But it was this thing, and it just became, I became so taken by it. And every Christmas, I never want to lose that. Do you? This is your Christmas season. May you embrace it and may you come with it. May you be totally taken by it. Father, I pray for my brothers and I pray for my sisters in this room. Lord, we're so grateful for Thanksgiving. Thank you, God. There are so many things happening in our life that we're so blessed with. And God, we thank you for every good thing because all our life you have been faithful. And all our life you've been so, so good. And Lord God, we just praise you, God, for the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. And Father, this is the Sunday before it begins. as the roller coaster begins to take off and we're going to be banking into the turns and swinging around, and it's the insane time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and it's the busiest time of the year. I ask, Lord God, that you would help us in this room to not let us be overtaken or overwhelmed by this season, but overcome by the presence of God. Lord, may you remind us as the reason for what's about to take place, the reason for this season. Lord God Almighty, please, God, draw us close to you this year. May this be the best Christmas we would ever have in our soul and in our spirits. God, help us, Lord, to be who you need us to be this Christmas season. I ask this now in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this. This last week, I saw God do a miracle. I saw God heal a body this last week. I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't live in this realm. I'm a very cognitive person. My faith in Jesus comes from a very rational, cognitive, intellectual faith. Our faith is an intelligent faith, and our faith is a supernatural faith. Did you know that? Our faith is an intelligent faith, and our faith is a supernatural faith. It always blows me away when I see God heal a body and perform a miracle. The scripture says in James chapter 5, if people need to connect with God and they need the leaders of the church, to seek out the leaders of the church and let the leaders of the church pray over people and anoint people with oil and pray God's blessing upon people. And if God is going to do a work in people's lives, God seems to want to work through the leaders of the church. I don't get it totally, but it's just God's way. So we at this church practice James chapter 5 Sunday after the message. We're about to sing two songs, and we're going to be singing of the goodness of God. We're going to be stirring in Christ. If you're here today and you need someone to pray for you, if you're here today and you need a touch of God in your life, then come up in these next two songs and let us pray over you. As I'm speaking, I'm going to ask for the leaders to come forward. I want to see, I think my wife is here. There she is. There's my beautiful bride. Who else? Dude, see, I know PV's up there. Is the chow's up in the balcony? Okay, I'm looking down here. Sean, I'm going to need some help today. Would you be willing to pray with us? Come on up, Brother Sean. Who else am I looking for today? I'm going to need some help this morning. Who's the leaders of our church? Where's my leadership team? Any leadership team here? Aha, come here. Thank you. Right on. Hey, Mike. Odin, you're on the board, weren't you, Brother Mike?
I was.
You were. Stand up, son. You can't miss this guy. He's a godly man, and he loves the Lord. Anyone knows Mike Odin, there's a reason why he's on our board. He's a godly man. If you need prayers, let us come and pray for you today. The Lord wants you to know that his eyes are upon you. The Lord wants you to know this morning that he is for you. He created you. You are precious in his sight. He is your shepherd. And you are his flock. He will always leave the 99 to go and save the one. Many times we receive not of the Lord because we didn't even ask. Isn't that sad? If you're here today and you need a touch of God, maybe you just need someone to pray over you. In these next two songs, you come forward and let us just pray over you. And we'll go, we'll all pray together and ask God's touch upon your life. And by the way, if you find someone coming up and receiving prayer this morning, would you please just pray a prayer for them? Because you have no idea what's happening in this room. Amen? What's our song, brother? Waymaker. Waymaker. Miracle worker. Right? Let's sing.